Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast, 800-531-3815. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. John Bertu is our guest. He's the president of the National Taxpayers Union. John, welcome back.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
It's good to have you back. I wanted to get you back on the show today, John, for a couple of reasons. Number one, we have news. There is news that we need to report. And also, the date is important. Tomorrow, as you know, is tax filing day. And I just wanted to get you to talk to us. It just seemed to me that today would be a good day to do that. The news is is where the president's proposal for his tax cut is in Congress. Now, it's passed the House, right?
It's passed the House. Basically what the House and the Senate are doing right now is passing something called a budget resolution, which is a blueprint of where the budget's going to be and what the budget's going to be this year. And the bottom line is as of Friday, we have a basic agreement. The size of the tax cut in the budget resolution is going to be $550 billion, but there is gentleman's agreement over in the Senate that they're not going to do anything higher than $350 billion.
All right, now the president asked for $736 billion, as I remember.
That's right.
And the House, when it went through the House, it went through the House pretty much intact, didn't it?
It did. And, you know, Jimmy, you and I were talking about this beforehand. The House it's funny, by historical standards, it's a very, very close margin. I think the Republicans, out of 435 seats, have 226, I believe, is the number, which is not very much over half. But their majority is even more comfortable than the tiny, tiny Senate majority of the Republicans. Historically, you know, these majorities are very, very small. And Washington has been abuzz this week talking about, lack of party loyalty by these folks. By historical standards, actually, when you step back and you look at it, it's extraordinary how well-disciplined the parties have become on each side of the aisle. And the House Republicans, as you said, with a slightly, you know, a less tiny, shall we say, majority, were able to put through basically the whole president of the president's tax package.
But three Republicans in the Senate have been the troublemakers, so to speak: Olympia Snow of Maine, Voinovich of Ohio, and Lincoln Jeffers of Rhode Island. Yeah, Rhode Island. Thank you. Have been dissenting. But the news really on Thursday, I guess it was, maybe it was Friday, was what Olympia Snow pulled. Tell us about that.
Well, there was negotiations going on between Mr. Frist, who's the Senate Majority Leader, Mr. Grassley, who's the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, and they were all discussing what they would or could vote for. And apparently Mr. Frist, I'm not sure if this is what you're talking about, but Mr. Frist left the room and went over to talk to Speaker Hastert and some of his colleagues in the House. And Senator Grassley, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, who's a Republican from Iowa, was with the two renegades. And he basically struck a, again, for lack of a better term, gentleman's deal that whatever the budget resolution said, there would not be a bigger tax cut than $350 billion going through the Senate unless things changed during the year or they could find other spending cuts. Now, if I was there, I could find spending cuts in about 7 seconds. Whether the Senate will be able to find adequate spending cuts to pay for a higher tax cut, That's going to be a harder task.
So basically, the president's proposal has been cut down by less than half.
It,
by more
that,
than That's been exactly cut by more than half, I should say.
Yep, that's exactly it.
And now the interesting thing, though, is that they could find plenty of opportunities to cut our tax, the reduction in our taxes, but they haven't been able to find a lot of opportunities to cut spending, have they?
No, spending has been growing at very large, you know, by leaps and bounds. You mentioned Leaping Lincoln. The leaping we have been seeing has been in spending. And the interesting thing is that, you know, all these folks who are voting against tax relief are saying, oh, we're doing it because of the fear of the deficit. Oh, well, deficit hawks
and all
this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you look at the spending agendas, however, of the folks who are voting against the tax cuts, they are, beyond what they're voting for on the floor, they are proposing, in just bills, so offering and co-authoring, spending increases much, much bigger than the amounts of money that are being debated. So it really comes down to they say this is about deficits. The reality is these guys just want the money in Washington to spend it.
They just want to spend it. And folks, that's to me, that's the disingenuous part that we need to be seeing through, and that is that when they talk about we can't cut taxes because we've got the deficit, we've got a war to fight, we've got a war to fund, we got to help rebuild Iraq, the economy's off, and et cetera, et cetera. We've got to do all this other stuff. When they're saying they can't cut taxes, then you would think that same logic would say we also need to tighten our belts. But that logic is lost on these guys, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really too bad because during World War II, I think you and I have talked about this. During World War II, I mean, the Congress made actual and honest sacrifices, and they cut back domestic programs, mm-hmm. and they never took a pay raise. And the current Congresses, mostly led by Republicans, the Democrats had the Senate last year, but it's a bipartisan thing.
That's exactly right, folks. Mine and John's righteous indignation about this is bipartisan, isn't it, John?
Yep, absolutely. The Republicans, you know, they'll try and make excuses, say, oh, well, we have small majorities, and if we don't do this, we'll lose our majority. Nonsense, guys. You know, they know what the right thing to do is. Voters made very clear, look at last fall, most of the appropriations bills hadn't been passed by the time of the election. Almost all the incumbents won.
John, hold on to that
stuff.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, the National Taxpayers Union scorecard for lawmakers is out, and it's not looking good. We're going to get John to talk to us about that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. John Bertu is our guest and our good friend, the president of the National Taxpayers Union and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. John, you guys put out a scorecard on every Congress. Do you do it every year or biannually?
We do it every year, and we've done it for almost 25 years now. Mm-hmm. And our scorecard, a little bit of self-promotion here, I hope you don't mind it. Our scorecard
is
different from most other groups. Most other groups just take 10 votes, 20 votes. We take every single vote that they take on tax or spending or significant regulatory issues. So in every Congress, we're looking at not a handful of votes, but 160 to almost 200 votes is the range. And it's a comprehensive rating of what these guys are doing.
And by the way, folks, the website is ntu.org, and they can find the scorecard there, can't they?
Absolutely. It's one of the top items listed there this morning.
All right. So what's the verdict, John?
Well, the verdict is that these guys are, as we just said, wartime and so forth. These guys are spending lots of money. And the average score in the House was in 2002. This is the scorecard for all of 2002. Was 41%, and the Senate was 40%, which is down a significant amount, but But the bottom line is the average member of Congress, 60% of the time, when given the choice between higher taxes or lower taxes or higher spending or lower spending, 60% of the time, these guys are voting the wrong way, which is very disconcerting. And, you know, you say, what's wrong with Washington? These numbers sort of bear out. The problem is in a lot of our members of Congress.
Well, there's a major conflict between the motivations of a politician, I'm going to say, in Washington, and the general well-being of our economy, because it's to their advantage, I should say, to have the money to give back to us so they can curry favor with us for the votes. That's worked over the last century, hasn't it? Especially the last century, but the thing is our entire economy would be better off if you and I could keep more of our money, especially with the culture of entrepreneurialism that's just going crazy in the United States, especially. If we had that capital in our businesses that we're sending to Washington that they're wasting or giving back to us in another form, if we had that money to put in our small businesses, we'd all have plenty of money.
Oh, amen, Jim. Amen. The bottom line is these guys say it's a power thing that they want to. It's a nice thing to control $2 trillion of the U.S. economy. And that's what these guys do, and they can use it by taking money in by robbing Peter to pay Paul. They can issue endless press releases. Senator Jones secures funding for this business, or Senator Jones secures funding for that, and it's the game is take as invisibly as you can and give as visibly as you can. So what happens is a lot of taxes, by our calculation, the average American paying over $2,400 a year in hidden taxes. They tax you in hidden, all kinds of mischievous ways, and then when they spend the money to get the political credit, it's very visible, lots of big ribbon-cutting ceremonies, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Newspaper is all over the newspapers.
There you go.
So-and-so shows up with $25,000 for this senior citizen center or whatever.
Exactly. And if, you know, what they miss is that senior citizen center, if you or I had 10-15% more of our money, we'd be putting more in the church till when they pass the hat on Sunday. We'd be, we'd have more. The average family, of course, pays more in taxes than they do for food, clothing, shelter, transportation combined. We wouldn't need lots of government benefit programs to help families if they could just keep more of what they earn to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, John, what is the? Do you have any idea what the tax date is this year, when beyond which we'll be working for ourselves?
I don't. I know.
It's usually around my birthday, around the 1st of May.
Yeah,
tenth of May.
Yeah, I think it's going to be right around there. Again, that's a date published by the Tax Foundation, and of course it varies state by state. As I recall, mm-hmm. last year you had some states like Connecticut, which was one of the worst, where folks were working into the middle of May. And again, the tax date is, to be clear to your listeners, it's the date where you stop working for government and the money you're making is for yourself.
So
and
the first 4-plus months you're working for the government.
Every dime you make
that you pay
just goes to taxes at the federal, state, or local level.
Of some level, yeah.
Yeah, so we're still, every dime you and I are making today is government's.
Yeah.
And it's obscene.
John, thank you for being here. National Taxpayers Union, folks, check them out, and if you feel like you can support them, I'm sure they'd be glad to have you as a member. But don't forget to check out this report card on your Congress when you get a chance. NTU.org. John Beartoo, thank you for being here. Good job.
Thank you.
You'll be back. I got to take a quick break. Stand by. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.